Hey guys, Ryan here. Before we get on with today's episode, I want everyone to go and give a follow to White Albino on Instagram. They have some great, great clothing. They have t-shirts, sweatpants, shorts, hoodies, you name it, they have it. And it's a local clothing brand in my hometown as well, and they make some awesome, awesome products. So if you want, go check out White Albino at their website as well, and use code QFPOD at checkout for 10% off. Thanks guys, and enjoy today's episode.
Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to Quarantine Football with Nate and Ryan. As Nate, Ryan, and Dorian are on hiatus enjoying their summers before heading back to school, I am your guest host, Adam Pallant. Yes, I am Ryan's stepfather, and yes, we are still going to talk some football. Today, I have the pleasure of having as my first guest for the show, one of my oldest friends, Andrew Myers. Andy is a fellow Steelers fan, a fellow Phillies fan, a fellow Hightstown High School, New Jersey graduate, and an alum of Hofstra University. How are you doing today, Andy?
I'm doing great, Adam. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you so much again for coming on the show. This is very exciting. I don't know how else to start, but we're just going to jump right in and talk some Steelers football.
I'm excited. I mean, here we are, almost August. Training camps have started.
Yeah.
And football's a little over a month away.
Wow, I'm suffering with a baseball season, so I am ready. So let's take a deep breath, take a drink if you have to wash away the tears as we recap that the 2020 season for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So, you know, that season, obviously they start 11-0, and then they go 1-4 the last five games. They got the Cleveland debacle. I feel like a lot of Steeler fans headed into the offseason, first with a lot of question marks. Big Ben, offensive line, coaching situation, not as much Tomlin, but the coordinators, especially on the offensive side. And there's like an uneasy feeling right now. Like usually with the Steelers, you sort of know where you stand coming into the season. They're a playoff team. Sometimes, rarely, they're not a playoff team. But I feel like with the other teams in the division doing what they've done and the way the Steelers season ended, it was an emotional roller coaster. That's the best way to sum up the 2020-21 season, in my estimation.
11-0, then this huge collapse where they lost four of the five, including losing to the Washington no-names, which was painful enough, and the Bengals, which was worse. You know that they became the first team since the 1969 LA Rams to go 11-0 and then lose three games in a row. Since the 69 Rams, that's painful.
It is, but they had no identity. I mean, they lost Devin Bush to an injury, which was big. They weren't really able to replace him. But they had no identity on offense, you know? I mean, you look at someone like Juju Smith-Schuster, who his rookie year was averaging 15 yards of reception last year, 8. Okay, they had a lot of bubble screens, no running game, which we both know. Mm-hmm. Every Steeler fan was upset they couldn't control the clock. And Roethlisberger at times looked good, but then at times looked like he was done. So you didn't know which team was going to show up, especially at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. Well, that knee injury he had that horrible knee injury.
I mean, they were able to face the Cowboys without Prescott. Mm-hmm. You know, they faced, they had some quarterbacks out on their schedule that they faced. Obviously, this year is a lot different, their upcoming schedule. But I feel like the Steelers won the games they had to win last year early in the season. But I just feel their inconsistency, their lack of run game caught up with them. And in the Browns game, Roethlisberger, 4 interceptions. They were down before you sat down. They were down 28-0. They just couldn't come back from that hole. And it just left such a sour feeling going into the offseason.
I just don't see. It's going to be so difficult to look at the 21-22 season optimistically, knowing and it's still recovering from that horrible debacle. Again, you call it a roller coaster. It was a roller coaster with a broken coaster is really what it was. And we don't have to recap. Let's put it back now. We talked about it. It happened. They were terrible. So now we look at 21-22. Tomlin's going into his 15th season as a coach. They had this draft. They went into the draft. They knew what they needed. So let's take a look at this draft. How did you feel about it, what they needed, and then what they got?
Well, Well, they needed a running back. So they addressed that right off the bat with the best one in the draft, in my estimation.
Najee Harris.
Great. I mean, he's done great against great competition. He's a stud. If you look at like fantasy, not to go into that right now, but he is probably the first rookie that you're going to take in fantasy. Mm-hmm. Like, I would think he's probably the first rookie that'll be drafted in fantasy leagues.
Probably.
But when you look at the Steelers, you know, you look at two things. Are they as good as the 11-0 team that they started out last year? Are they as not? Nah, they're not. Are they as bad as the 1-4 team that they finished off? Absolutely not.
Right.
They just, we don't know where they are right now. And with the schedule as being as tough as it is coming into this season, obviously they have that first place schedule winning the AFC North. You know, I mean, if you go down the schedule and we could do that, you know, it's tough to have 9, 10, 11 game wins, you know, in that schedule. So
absolutely.
In the team, in the schedule, the draft, like you said, you talked about Najee Harris. I think he's going to be a stud.
I agree. They went to Harris. They got Freemuth from Penn State, tight end. But most experts saying a little high, especially a guy who's not a elite blocker. Okay, so you let it go. Green looks like he's going to be the center. Kendrick Green from Illinois will be their center. And then they got some other guys, offensive linemen, inside linebackers. Everyone's all big on Buddy Johnson. They liked the selection. They're all down on Loudermilk. They say it was just not worth it. And they say overall, even Trey Norwood, the cornerback out of Oklahoma, they say he's going to be pretty good. Again, I don't know for an expert.
They drafted a punter at the end.
Yes. Preston
Harden. Like, you could make the team. I mean, let's be honest. Jordan Berry isn't exactly, you know, lights out. No. But the thing with the Steelers is another thing we talked about last year going into this year, which has to be corrected. See, the thing is, you can correct some things in football. Like if injuries just happen, Devin Bush, you can't correct that. It happens. The drop passes, right? That was huge.
It was unreal. And
one of the reasons they looked at a Freiermuth is Ebron is just, he dropped too many passes. He's a good tight end in the red zone, but he had a lot of drops. Listen, Deontay Johnson had a lot of drops.
Oh, yeah. Second most in the league. The team was second most in the league. It was a drop pass. It was terrible.
And when you don't have a running game and you're dropping passes, you're not going to be efficient.
That's true.
You're going to be three and out, and your defense, which is a top five defense, legitimately top five defense, is going to be on the field way too much, mm-hmm. and it costs them.
Yep. You're absolutely right. And most experts are saying that the draft, that they feel that the Steelers drafted for immediate need, not for a almost a rebuilding team. So they're saying that it looks like the Steelers are going all in, saying this is Roethlisberger's last year. We need to give him the offensive weapons to win now and hope that we can build a team. But if this team doesn't do well, it's going to be quite a long rebuilding process.
If you look at the Steelers in general for history, no Steeler fan wants to hear the word rebuild, right? Because they've been such a good team for such a long time with such a big, rich history. So they were able to plug some holes, you know, with Pouncey retiring, Green's a nice fit. Hopefully mm-hmm. he'll work out. A guy like Freiermuth, yes, he could be a good fit. Obviously, Najee Harris absolutely hits the need right now.
I mean, the biggest need, yeah.
The biggest need. And listen, they're going to have three new offensive linemen starting. So it's not just about Harris. They have to have the offensive line. They have a new offensive line coach, Matt Canada, new offensive coordinator. So they have things in place to make changes from their offense last year. Their personnel is similar in terms of the receiving core, mm-hmm. obviously the quarterback. But they just have to have a better game plan. They just can't go into season throwing 6 and 7 yard passes to get the ball out of Roethlisberger's hands. It's not going to work because teams play for that and they right. don't respect the run. And if you look at every team, look at the Buccaneers. I mean, granted, the Bucs were great, right? Their receivers, Brady, obviously all time, but they were able to run the ball when they had to. Mm-hmm. Kansas City can run the ball when they had to. So the Steelers aren't going to go anywhere if they can't run the ball, especially in that division. With Cleveland, who can run the ball as well as anybody. Obviously, the Ravens run the ball as well as anybody. And if the Bengals can get any passing game with Burrow, Mixon's excellent. So this whole division is, you know, you're not going to be outscoring teams. If you're not going to be keeping up with them if you can't run the ball.
So you're really banking on Harris. Really, he's got to make a huge impact early and give Roth and give the other teams somebody to look at from the point of the line and allow Roethlisberger an opportunity to throw so that they're not watching everyone saying the running game's got nothing to do. Let's double team Juju and just go get on Roethlisberger in five.
Also, let's go back. When you look at last year, you know, you have the good, the bad, and the ugly of last year, right? One of the goods is Chase Claypool. I mean, here's a guy who comes in, was a stud. I mean, obviously, the Eagles game is what kind of put him into that next level when he kind of grew up at that game. But that was an amazing coming out party. So now you have Claypool, and they've always drafted good receivers. We both know that. He adds another dimension to the offense. But Roethlisberger has to get him the ball downfield. He's got to throw a better deep ball. Last year, too inconsistent, underthrowing guys. That's why they relied on the short passes.
Were they rushing a lot? Was he forced to rush? Yes.
Well, they had plays where they got the ball off really quickly. Like it was like snap, throw. And that's why the yards per catch were so low, because they were just like, they were getting 5-6 yards a catch. Right. You can't, in the NFL nowadays, you got to open it up. You got to keep defenses honest. Obviously, it starts with a running game, but hopefully this year with Harris and with maybe a change in offensive philosophy, which they have to have, they can be more efficient.
There you go. Well, they can't rely on Snell. We can't have him in the starting lineup anymore. That was painful. All right, so there we go. So that is, we have an idea of this quality offense, Claypool, Juju, Deontay Johnson, Washington, and Najee Harris. So you had mentioned earlier about the offensive line. You're saying they have a potential, but most experts are saying they're just going to be terrible.
Well, I mean, on paper, the rushing, their offensive line, again, first the run was the worst in the league. You know, their pass pass protection was rated very high, but it's misleading because they threw the ball so quickly. It just, the numbers, the hurries weren't there and the sacks weren't there. And that's why they threw it so fast, so they can avoid the pressure. Yes, their offensive line's it's an enigma. We don't know what it's going to be. They have some, you know, you hope Green can fit in. Villanueva was terrible last year. You know, DeCastro wasn't good last year. Pouncey wasn't good. They aged very quickly, very quickly. And it all kind of happened in one year. That, with the addition of Roethlisberger playing subpar most of the year, that's what happened at the back end.
There you go. So really the age did them in, and the new guys coming in, you think with some youth, some enthusiasm, some changes in philosophy, that could lead to at least an offensive line that will be acceptable enough for the offensive weapons to really kick in.
Yeah. I mean, and then again, remember on defense, Devin Bush is back. Okay. You lost Mike Hilton. You lost Steven Nelson, but now you have a guy like Cam Sutton stepping in. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, you hope these guys, Justin Lane is going to step in. You hope that they could play. I like Cam Sutton. I've always liked him. I've always liked Mike Hilton, but I didn't like Mike Hilton the last few games. There was some exposure there, but we'll see what happens. I think the defense, I'm not worried about. I mean, they have some big playmakers. Obviously, Watt is top two or three in the league. Fitzpatrick's a ball hawk in this.
Amazing. Highsmith.
Yeah. So they have, and he played well, Highsmith. So, you know, losing Dupree was big, but they signed Melvin Ingram. They just signed him. So he's going to help with Highsmith on that side. We have Watt on the other side. Obviously, Cam Hayward to it in the inside. They have – their defense is a very good defense. They're not going to – it'll be tested with these quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. You know, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, if he's on Green Bay, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes. They're going to be tested. But this season I don't think is going to be based on – any Steeler fan is not going to look at the season and say – it's up to, you know, we're going to win or lose based on the defense. The defense will be solid.
Right. It's going to come down to Ben. The line seems to be on every article I've seen. The Steelers will go as Ben goes. Correct. Just hold up.
That's always it's a quarterback-driven league.
Yeah. So then leads to the question, and for the phone, if let's say Big Ben does go down, are they handing it off to Rudolph, or is it going to be a Haskins team?
Well, it's definitely not going to be Haskins team right now. I mean, he hasn't done anything. He hasn't shown you anything yet. We just read that he's there. Mm-hmm. Rudolph earned that second spot right now. If Haskins comes in, and Haskins is even guaranteed the third shot. Like, I mean, you know, he has to make the team. Mm-hmm. But Rudolph, I think, is a second string. Is he ever going to be like a starter? Like, I feel like when Roethlisberger retires, I don't know if they'll hand it off to Rudolph. I don't think he's established himself that way. I think they'd have to draft a quarterback at some point. I thought this year they may look at it, but they went for immediate need. So I don't know. I mean, right now, I think Rudolph is definitely the second, is the number two. Yes.
We're not talking about next year. Andy Dalton is going to be the quarterback of this team. Or Flacco. Well, I don't want to see that.
No, we don't need that.
Dear God. All right. So again, it's your optimism, Andy, which has always been my favorite part. So let's break down the schedule. Let's look at it and make a win-loss there of what we expect. So they're going to open up preseason aside, because that's all just prep. Preseason aside, they kick off September 12th at Buffalo against the Bills.
So I am an optimist, okay? But it's hard to be optimistic going into Buffalo week one, considering how good Buffalo really is. I mean, Buffalo, Josh Allen, and Diggs, I mean, they're a legitimate team, right? I just don't see the Steelers going into Buffalo week one and beating them. I don't see it.
I absolutely agree. I agree with you there. Then they come home, they play the Raiders.
So historically, they've always had problems with the Raiders. When the Raiders were terrible, they've always had problems with the Raiders.
I'm remembering the, and I'm going to forget his name, the quarterback just ran up 100 yards against him, former Ohio State Buckeye.
Yeah, Pryor.
Remember that? I still think about it, and I get chills of nausea remembering that game. Okay.
Steelers are known for creating a lot of nausea. But I will say that I think they'll beat the Raiders. It is their home opener. There will be fans again. Remember, last year, no fans. This year, with the fans there, I think the Steelers could take care of the Raiders at home.
I agree. I don't think the Raiders are that much of a team. So I agree with you there. Then they stay at home versus the Bengals.
So the Bengals, again, the Bengals defenses have some issues. Burrow, I like him. I think he's going to be really, really good. They had a good draft, Jamar Chase on a receiving end. I still think the Steelers will win the game, because I kind of can't get through. It's still the Bengals to me, but mm-hmm. I think they'll be competitive. Like, right. They'll definitely be competitive, but I think the Steelers will win that game.
Good. All right. So far that's 2-1. We're feeling good at going to week three. And then they go to Green Bay. Now let's assume this is a Rodgers-less Green Bay team, a Devontae Adams-less team.
Well, Adams is under contract, so he'll be there.
Yes.
He's there. He's not holding out or anything. He's there. He's in extension, but I think they're – I don't know what the situation is, but right now he's signed. He's there. If there's no Aaron Rodgers, obviously it changes the whole thing. I mean, it changes the entire team.
Right.
So without Rodgers, I think they could win – I mean, I think they can win that game, no doubt. With Rodgers, I don't think they can win.
I don't think they can win. So we'll give them the loss with the optimistic hope that Rodgers decides to sit out and pull a Favre and get traded to the Broncos. So, which, speaking of the Broncos, they then go home versus the Broncos.
So it's kind of like whichever pick your poison is. If the Broncos are as is, okay, so I'm going to assume Rodgers is staying in Green Bay because it's too early to really, nothing's happened yet. Training camp's coming up. He hasn't been dealt anywhere. There's no rumors he's going anywhere yet. The Broncos now, again, the Broncos have some deficiencies. They have a young receiving core that's good. The quarterback, again, they're not crazy about him.
Lock or Bridgewater. That's where you got to go back and forth.
The defense is not bad, Denver. Remember, Miller comes back this year. He was out all last year with a foot injury. I still think they could beat the Broncos at home. I think they're just a better football team than Denver. I think their defense will keep Denver at bay. That's a game where the defense could kind of keep them at bay.
Absolutely. Could not agree. I'm with you right there so far. So again, if we're taking the backers loss, we're 3-2. Steelers are looking good at 3-2. And then before the bye week, they stay home versus Seattle.
Seattle is a tricky team because they have a ton of talent with Russell Wilson, Metcalf. I don't know how they would cover him, but
amazing.
You know, I just remember the game when they played Seattle. That's when Roethlisberger got hurt. That was, he hurt his elbow.
Right.
I feel like it's one of those games where it's going to be like 45-42, back and forth.
Yep.
Being a Steeler fan, I'm going to say Steelers just because I'm a little of a homie with that. But I think they could definitely lose that game. I mean, Seattle's legitimate, so they can lose a game. But I'm going to say the Steelers will win that game just because they have a bye week the next week.
Right.
I feel like Tomlin may give them a little incentive. We get a week off, whatever. I think they'll win that week.
All right. The first one I'm disagreeing only because I'm very negative. Again, you're the optimistic one. I'm the negative. I have them as losing it. I just feel Seahawks are just a strong team, and it is going to be tough. And I hold Russell Wilson in very high regards, and I don't think Metcalf is coverable. And I don't think Hayden or it was this, the guy they brought in, Sutton. I don't think either one of them can cover him.
Right? Because last year Seattle's defense was terrible in the beginning of the season. They were terrible.
They were okay.
Wolves can exploit their defense. I mean, so you know, it just comes down to again, it could be a scoring, it could be a scoring.
All right, fair enough. So our first disagreement, but okay, we're still Steelers are still looking good, even at my expectation of let's see, I had 4-2, and you're 4-2. No, because we went back and forth in the Packers, so we're a team, we're part of. So they finish the bye week, they're all rested up, they go to Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like the matchup. I don't like the matchup with Cleveland in general because of first of all how that last game ended. Yeah. I can't get that taste out of my mouth with that playoff loss. I think Cleveland had a very good offseason. I feel like Mayfield has really improved. They have Beckham back now.
Yep.
Great running game. Great running game.
Yeah, scary.
I honestly think Cleveland's, they're a very good team. It's a bad matchup. It's funny because you always look at Cleveland and Cincinnati as four wins every year. Yeah. We're going to go in with 4-0. Same old Browns, same old Bengals. The Bengals are going to be definitely competitive, but the Browns are legitimate. Mm-hmm. They're legitimately one of the top three or four teams in the AFC.
Quality defense, quality offense.
They're going to lose that game.
I agree with you. I think they're going to lose as well. And then, but I think they can get healthy. In my opinion, they come home to the Bears.
So the Bears, I've never been a fan of the Bears. I don't like, even they're one of those teams when they're on TV, they're boring. They don't do anything. They drafted a quarterback.
Yep, Fields.
And their defense is good. But I still like, I've never been a big fan of what they do. Their offense is very inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And if Fields plays, again, here's a rookie quarterback now playing, if he's playing early in the season, and I think the Steelers can take advantage of that. And I think the Steelers will win that game.
I agree. Whether it's Dalton or Fields starting, I think the Steelers can take them down. So absolutely agree. So we both go with a win there. And then they stay home versus Detroit.
Well, Detroit, again, is a team where they traded for Goff, traded out Stafford. They're sort of rebuilding that team, new coach. They have a lot of holes on that team. I think this, Galladay is on the Giants. He's on the Giants now. I think the Steelers will beat the Lions.
That's it. Same as me. I agree as well. Even if it was later in the season and I felt the team, if they're going to they're going to start to get together, it's going to be at that point. But I think the Lions just don't have enough of the puzzle put together to beat the Steelers. So there you go. After that one, we're now looking at 6 wins already. Even Ava, from your point of view, we're looking at now they go to the Chargers.
So let's one thing about the Steelers schedule as we go through it. It's very back heavy, right? So all these wins we're saying right now, this is the wins they should get. Mm-hmm. As a Steelers fan, there's always that one game every year where they're like a double digit favorite. The Raiders, they go into a team and then they just lay an egg.
Like Washington last year.
But Washington wasn't, their defense wasn't bad. And they caught Steelers at a good time. Steelers weren't playing great. But yes, you're right. So they're right now, we're like, oh, they have this 6 wins or whatever. But when you look at the gauntlet, the gauntlet's coming up.
Right.
So this game said was Chargers?
Yes, yeah, at Chargers.
So the Chargers, again, are one of those teams that does everything well except win. Their offense, Herbert is excellent. I mean, he is excellent.
He's scary, yeah.
Really good receivers. Their defense isn't, they have a good defensive line if they can stay healthy. They always seem to be hurt. Darwin James was out all last year, that's a tough one. I'm going to say they're going to lose this game.
No, I agree with you there. Just something about coming off 2 wins at home and then heading out, almost like they're looking past the Chargers even. I had them at a loss because they faced the Bengals on the road.
So I still think they'll beat the Bengals. Again, I'm going by this. It's the Bengals philosophy. Although I think that's the type of game that's going to be down to the last 2 minutes of the game because it's in Cincinnati. Bengals are going to be definitely improved on offense. I just don't see the defense of the Bengals being able to keep a lead or win a game. They have to show me they can win a game on that defensive side. They haven't been able to do that in the longest time.
Right.
But their offense they're going to put up points. They're not going to lose 24-7 anymore. They're going to be scoring 20, 30 points a game with that offense.
Absolutely, absolutely. So really, and again, I had it as a win as well, because I just don't think, I look at the Bengals and I just don't see wins. I even no matter how good they get, I just don't see wins. I don't. And again, that's maybe that's a little bit of optimism on my side. All right, so there you go. So now they come back home, they face the Ravens. Now they're starting to get to that schedule you're talking about. It's just one of the hardest parts of the schedule.
So the Ravens, in my head as a Steeler fan, I always split. I'm always like, they're going to win the home and lose the road. Although sometimes it's the opposite with the Steelers. Right, right. You know, it's always a tight game. I'm going to give them a win at home, but I think the Ravens are a better team than the Steelers. Wow. I'm just going to be honest. They're a better team than the Steelers, but I'm going to say the Steelers at home, it may, you know, I think they'll win at home. The defense is going to have to, there's going to be games where the defense is going to have to win games. I mean, the Steelers, they're just going to have to. This is one of the games. When you play the Ravens, their defense has to win the game. Make a big play, a big turnover. Lamar Jackson could turn the ball over. You know, they have an excellent running game. You know, they should beat the Ravens at home. I think if their defense could really.
Again, I had them losing because that's, I just think the Steelers have a lot of difficulties this year, a lot of holes to fill, and it's putting a lot by this. Now we're going into season 13. At 41, Roethlisberger is going to start to wear down. We're going to know by now if Harris is going to be any good. If he's a stud, by then we'll know. So I had him losing, but that's you're on 8 wins already going into that home game against the Ravens. That's good, Andy. I think you can go to bed and you can sign a contract right now if they beat the Ravens in week 13 for the 8th win of the year. All right, there you go. Then they go to Minnesota to face the Vikings, which I believe is a Monday night game.
So I'm going to pin a loss on this game. The Vikings, I feel, and again, I'm not a huge fan of, I love Dalvin Cook. I love their Jefferson. I mean, the receivers are. Mm-hmm. I don't love Kirk Cousins. I don't believe in him. Whenever he's in a big game, he does not come through, or most of the time. He's proven that in the past. But I do feel like it's a matchup problem for the Steelers. And I feel like this game is going to be, you know, when teams play the Steelers, it's like it's their big game of the year. It's like when you play the Patriots, although the Patriots obviously have been much more successful than the Steelers in the last 20 years, but the Steelers are still the Steelers. It's like when they play the Cowboys, like the teams, you're going to get their A game every time. And I feel like the Vikings A game will win this for the Steelers against
them. Okay. All right. So pin them a loss. And then they come home versus the Titans.
Again, another very tough game. The Titans, very physical. Tannehill's career has totally, I mean, unbelievable since he's gotten here. Henry, you know, himself.
Elite, yep.
I'm going to give him a win because I'm an optimist. Yeah. But I'm telling you, that, again, Tennessee, I feel, is a more talented team. But again, I don't love their defense. I don't love their defense. And I feel like this is the kind of game where the Steelers can maybe make a big special teams play or a defensive play and win the game.
Now, as we're approaching these last 4 games, again, just about experts are saying 4 of the top 10 toughest teams in the NFL for this year will be these last 4 games.
That's why, yeah.
You're giving a win against Titans, then they go into Kansas City Chiefs.
There's a loss. You know, I can be the biggest optimist I'll ever think of. I don't see them beating Mahomes.
Unless Mahomes is out. And everybody possible is out. And maybe they're benching everybody because they're 15-0 by then. I don't think my math is right, but yeah, they're going to lose that game.
They're going to have problems with the Chiefs. I mean, everyone has problems with the Chiefs.
Bell hasn't signed yet, right? Bell hasn't re-signed with the Chiefs.
No, he's not going back. He's out.
Yeah, he's out because Andy Reid hates him. Yeah, that's funny. Maybe they'll come back to Steelers. He'll be Harris's backup. All right, that's terrible. I take that back. All right, so then they lost. So now you gave them the win at the Titans, even though I had them lose. And I had them lose to the Vikings too. So now I have them going to the game versus the Browns at home.
So, okay. So I had them losing against Cleveland in Cleveland.
Right.
I'm going to have them winning at home. I'm going to have them splitting with the Browns.
Wow.
Pretty much I have them. Now, again, that taste of that game in the playoffs, but I feel like there's motivation there. They're going to remember that game. Tomlin will tell them. I mean, they don't have to be reminded of that game. That was a terrible game. It's brutal. As a Steelers fan, it's one of the worst games I've ever seen. Like, I mean, you sit down 28-0. You haven't even done
it. Was it worse than Tebow beating them?
Yeah, well, if you're going to look at the worst losses, I think Tebow is a terrible loss. I think losing to the Chargers in the AFC Championship back was terrible because they were a much better team. I mean, they were much better. And honestly, the game where they lost to the Patriots when really Tom Brady's coming out party year, mm-hmm. when the Steelers were 10-point favorites in that AFC Championship game. And Troy Brown had the punt for the touchdown, the picks on defense. It was just terrible. But those were like the worst losses. And I was at those games, which even made it worse.
Oh, geez.
That drive home from Pittsburgh in New Jersey, when you have a loss like that, is just brutal.
That was worse than the Neil O'Donnell Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl.
That was bad, but I didn't expect them to win that game. The Cowboys were clearly a better team. Clearly a better team. And the fact that the Steelers were even in the game was great coaching by Cowher, that onside kick that he did, and they had some plays on offense. But yes, O'Donnell was Neil O'Donnell, and he proved it when he went to the Jets. But right. But that was like a bonus being in that Super Bowl, I thought.
That was true. That's true. All right. So we had a chance to look at the horrible games. You're giving the Browns, Steelers win over the Browns, which is now, if I've got my math, that's your 10th win of the year. And now they're home. They got to go to the Ravens to finish the season before the playoffs.
Remember, there's 17 games.
Right, right.
So winning like 10 games in 16 games is a little different than winning 10 games in 17 games.
Right, right.
So it's a little different. They're definitely not beating the Ravens. If that game means anything in Baltimore, they're not winning.
7, 8, 9. So you're looking at. I also had them losing. Sadly, I had them losing the last six. I had them losing from the Ravens at home all the way to the Ravens on the road. That's just so. I had them at 8-10, and you have them at 10-8. Am I math right? No, I can't be right. 10-7. Sorry, 7-10, 10-7.
So 10-7 won't win a division, right? I mean, that's a wild card in that division. But I just feel like one of those wins I'm giving the Steelers, I mean, it could be more than one, but the one of them against the bad teams or the lesser teams, I feel like is a flop. Like there's always that one game Tomlin has where his team isn't up for the game and they just lose. So that 10-7 was almost like 9-8 because there's an automatic like one game that you always lose.
It always happens. Yes. They just forgot they're playing that day. They it's those sandwich games where they're looking past this team and the team beats them.
And honestly, Adam, it's just hard to go into the season with any sort of confidence. It's hard as a Steelers fan. I mean, you had such a bad loss, especially given the last five games they played at the end of the regular season. It's just hard to go in with any confidence that this team could, you know, these teams that we're saying they're going to beat, I'm thinking Steelers 2 years ago are going to beat them. You know, like, I don't know the Steelers now. Like, we have a totally different offensive line, but a better defense. So, I mean, I feel like that helps a little. It's just the quarterback. It's going to come down to Big Ben. If he can play at a high clip, which is crucial, they'll be okay. If he plays average to below average, they're winning 7 or 8 games. I mean, I can't see them winning more if he's playing average.
There you go.
Because he's going to have to carry this team on the offense.
He will. Well, again, and obviously this whole conversation is guessing and you putting your best knowledge about history and what we expect of certain players. If Harris comes out and has a record-setting rookie year, and again, that piecemeal offensive line, and then the defense even better than we expect, you're talking 12, 13 win team, potentially, if everything falls well.
And then again, the big wild card is injuries, right? Last year, you lost Devin Bush, right? You could lose these injuries, you have these injuries, and you just don't know what's going to happen at that point. And hopefully it's not significant injury at a skilled position where they can't just afford to lose the guy.
Right. Like so they make a wild card.
Yeah. Like Bud Dupree was a big injury. I mean, these are big injuries.
It was huge. So they make the wild card, but you don't see them going much further than that.
Honestly, I don't know if they'll even be a wild card team. I'm hoping they could be a wild card team. I just think their division is a lot better now, mm-hmm. and it's only getting better. And I feel like these young quarterbacks, you know, have played really well. And I don't know if the Steelers have enough in the tank. It's going to come down to Roethlisberger. I'm telling you, if he has enough in the tank, it's up to him. And this could be his last season. So I think he wants to go out strong, and they're trying to put things in place, having running game, you know, with Harris, drafting Harris. Mm-hmm. They got to catch the ball. No, they lessen the drops. Mm-hmm. that's, you know, and Roethlisberger's got to play a lot better.
41 years old in football year, that's like 90.
Except if you're Tom Brady.
Except if you're Tom Brady. Well, yes, that's true. Maybe there is a hope and prayer for a Steelers fan. Just one more season. But would you be okay with a 10-7 record and not making the playoffs?
No. I think any Steeler fan, if you're not in the playoffs, you're not happy. Right. You know, like, I would take a 9-win season with the playoffs. Like, I want to be in the playoffs. But you also want a direction of this team. Like, you know, this could be Roethlisberger handing the ball off to the next quarterback or, you know, the future of the Steelers. You want to go into the season. Like, you don't want to go into a season like we're going in the season with just so many questions and so much uncertainty. You want to go in with some sort of direction, some sort of optimism, not an enigma, but optimism. And I feel like if I can go into next year with optimism, regardless of the outcome, although I do obviously want to make the playoffs. I mean, you're Steelers. It's the history.
Absolutely.
I'll feel a lot better about where the team is as a franchise.
So really my favorite comparison is to the 07 Phillies. They got swept out of the playoffs by the Rockies, came back in 08 with direction, great team, and of course won the World Series. So that's what you're talking about. You got to go in with some kind of a team philosophy and a team that has minimal amount of holes, and all you need is just a few good movements of certain players and certain opportunities against teams, and you're in the championship.
Yeah, I mean, we want the direction. Remember, they made changes. New offensive line coach. They have a new defensive backs coach. Mm-hmm. They have a new offensive coordinator. So these things, let them play out. Let's see what they could do. They have a very good GM, okay? Tomlin's a very good coach. So, yes, sometimes his game day coaching isn't great. But if you look at his record, it speaks for itself. You got to give him that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and always people are always like, let's replace the coach. But then you have to have a solution, right? If you're going to take Tomlin out, who's going to be the coach?
Right. You're not going to bring in the former Jets coach. Yeah. You're not going to bring in Manzini. You're going to bring in Adam Gase.
Yeah. And the players they really like Tomlin. That's so true. I mean, you got to, you know, but we'll see. But again, I'm optimistic, but I'm always an optimist. You know,
you are. And you're keeping yourself healthy, and it's good to see. But of course, you know, we all have our vices, and that's how we get through the season. So there you go. All right. So anywhere from 7-10, 10-7, right there. It's right on the cusp. So all right, feeling strong. So as I look at the time, and I know we're winding down, we've been Steeler fans for so long, so for as long as I can remember. Long, we were single-digit ages running around in Twin Rivers, New Jersey. Give me your top five Steeler of all time, your favorites, that you just every time you think of them, you just smile.
Well, when I was younger, you know, my dad was a big Steelers fan. So he got me into the Steelers, right? And he had that big satellite dish in you know, when he was in California, and I would go there, and, you know, those huge dishes before, the young people probably don't know what I'm talking about, but in his backyard, this huge dish. So I would see this live feed of the Steelers games. And I always loved Terry Bradshaw. I mean, here's a guy who was 4-0 in the Super Bowl. Back in the day, the stats, if you look at the stats aren't like the stats of like Dan Marino and these guys, guys now, but I'm saying he won. Mm-hmm. And he was a guy, and he was like, he kind of symbolized what Pittsburgh was all about. So I've always been a Bradshaw fan. On the other side of the ball, I've always been a Jack Lambert fan. Mm-hmm. Jack Lambert, you know, you would play the Steelers and Jack Lambert is standing in your way. He, you know, you had a game plan around Jack Lambert. First of all, the defense was Hall of Fame, the whole defense.
Oh, yeah.
But Jack Lambert, you know, missing teeth, pushing people, like, he just stood out. If you ever see the highlights of Jack Lambert's tackles, he literally takes people and throws them. Like, he'd be penalized. That he wouldn't be.
Ken Stabler, by the way. That's why I went there.
Yeah. Jerome Bettis. I love the bus. I was so happy he got in the Hall of Fame. Well earned. I always remember the game against Chicago in the snow when he bullied over for the touchdown. That was a big game against Urlacher when he bullied him over for the touchdown and that huge win for them. And that helped them get into that playoffs, you know, in that year when they beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
What about when he fumbled against Denver? Against Denver, yeah.
Yeah, that was a little heart attack, by the way.
No, it wasn't. I'm sorry. It was the Colts. It was the Colts, so yes.
That was a heart attack. That was another time where, but at least they came out on top.
Yes, yes, they did.
They would have lost. It would have been brutal.
That was tough to watch, yes.
So those are three. You know who I used to really love? And again, this is just back in high school. Louis Lips. Louis Lips, first of all, he was a great punt returner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he would, I mean, he was a big play guy. But Louis Lips was always like one of my favorite players. And again, going back again, another favorite player, John Stallworth. John Stallworth, Lynn Swann always got all the credit because he had the acrobatic catches. Mm-hmm. But John Stallworth had an amazing career. Oh, and yeah. He had a lot of huge catches, especially in the Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. With the Rams, some big catches. I've always liked John Stallworth. He was on. I feel like he was underappreciated as a Steeler.
That is out some quality names. And I was going back and forth on so many. And you talk about Stallworth, and again, it's amazing we don't even mention Franco Harris, one of the greatest ever. It's hard. It's hard to narrow down. I guess because you talk about your dad being your biggest influence on the Steelers. Of course, you were my biggest influence on the Steelers. I don't become a Steeler or Phillies fan without the enthusiastic Andy Myers screaming her name. You around my
Phillies, by the way. I apologize for that one.
I know. Hey, you should, by the way.
The Mets. Well, not the Mets, but the Yankees, definitely.
That was pain. I couldn't have been a Yankees fan. Are you kidding me? I know in the 70s and early 80s, that was fine, but I could never be a Yankees fan, and that would have been painful to be a Mets fan. I accept the Phillies. We had the 80s, we had the 93 team, we had the 08 team. That's enough. Okay. I know it's painful now, but at least we have those. We can hold on to those. But so my Steelers, and I'll end it in mine, only because I throw it up there. I actually had Lynn Swann, because I still remember when we were kids, you wrote a letter to Bradshaw. I wrote a letter to Lynn Swann. I got back an autographed picture.
I got nothing. Bradshaw, totally.
Maybe if Bradshaw sees this or listens to this show, he should send you something.
I invited him to my birthday party. He never even responded. He couldn't even respond. He didn't get a gift card.
You know, he came to my birthday party 5 days later, so that's probably what happened. He got the days mixed up. All right, so Lynn Swann was, he's actually my number two, and I kind of ranked these. Five was Hines Ward, because...
I liked him, yeah. He's,
he was... It was just that he always smiled, never did not smile. I always did like Big Ben because he wins. He wins and he's tough and he's just, and the only jersey I ever bought is a Roethlisberger jersey. I think it was nice transition to my older years. I like the bus as well. And I threw Merrill Hodge in there because I was such a Merrill Hodge fan.
Love Merrill Hodge. I remember that.
He just ran. He just kept running. Lynchwood, of course,
Ben has been taken for granted with Steelers fans because he's been so good for so long. Like when he went out with the injury for the year, and then you saw what they were without him, I think people were like, wow, we really have this guy. And so I think Big Ben has been sort of underappreciated. And yes, a quarterback always gets a little too much credit and a little too much credit, or too much credit and too little credit, which certainly happened. But, I feel like he's been underappreciated by a lot of fans.
It's shocking because you look at the history of the Steelers quarterbacks and you can name a laughingstock team, the Bubby Bristers and the Tommy Maddoxes. And, you know, you got to use Roethlisberger is, would you call him the greatest Steeler quarterback of all time? You know, Terry Bradshaw has his four rings. Bradshaw won with the greatest team of all time. Roethlisberger really got to give him credit for his rings.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, of course, I top it off with Troy Palomalu, one of the greatest. He was – you sang his praise many times. I was shocked he didn't make it, but that's fine. I just do love watching the highlights of him. He was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, those are five great. We can go on. There's a million.
Absolutely.
Those are excellent.
Tim Worley's not making his team, though, right? No, I never thought so. We if we do the show again, we'll talk about the top 10 worst Steelers of all time.
I can start with that.
That'd be fun. We can do that. But I got to wind up. Andy, I can't thank you enough. This has been such a thrill. A stroll down memory lane to prep for the 21-22 season. It's just so exciting. And do you have anything you'd like else to say? Anything from the heart or from the soul?
No. Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
There you go. It's been said. There you go. It's been announced. Andy, thank you very much. Everyone who's listening, thank you for listening to the podcast, Quarantine Football with Nate and Ryan. Nate will be back. Ryan will be back. Dorian will be back. Andy, thank you again. Everyone, stay safe and make sure to get the vaccine.